You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
With Giannis out, you would think the Pacers would have a shot at the job of Milwaukee on Monday evening, back-to-back for the Pacers, after they won in overtime in Miami Sunday afternoon. Despite no Greek Freak, borderline MVP candidate this year, two-time MVP himself, the Bucks did not miss a beat. They scored 48 first-quarter points on the way to 140 team points. They were 24 of 39 from three, and it was raising the Pacers' loss by 27 points. They're really never in this game, the Pacers. They trailed by 20-plus most of the night. They cut it to maybe low double digits in the third, fourth-quarter range, but never got to single digits, and they really were never in this game. They were propelled by some nice nights from some bench guys. Jeremy Lamb had 21 points, and McDermott, who slotted into the starting lineup, had 20 points. But on the Bucks side, you had four starters scoring 18-plus points. Holiday had 28. That is, Drew Holiday had 28. And Milton had 25 to lead away for the Bucks as they thoroughly dominated the Pacers, and the Pacers moved to 19-23. The Bucks moved to 28-14. Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, I'm the host of this wonderful show. And on today's podcast, I'm going to talk as little as I can about this Bucks loss, because not a lot of positives from it, but I will discuss where I thought the Pacers really blew this game, where they had a shot, because they were, like, at one point, had a very, if things had broken perfectly, shot at maybe making this game a really close, tight game and could have snuck away with it, but talk about that. Then I'll break down some of Zach Lowe's trade rumors for the Pacers. But I want to start with Miles Turner and why the Pacers probably shouldn't trade their soon-to-be all-defensive center. I guess maybe he will not make first-team all-defense, but it's pretty clear that Turner is the defensive piece that keeps this team running. So Turner has missed three games this season, which for him is pretty healthy, frankly. He has had some worse years, so he's been relatively healthy. You know, I think minor little, what, he had an avulsion fracture, and tonight was an ankle, but doesn't seem crazy. So in those three games he hasn't played, the Pacers gave up 129 points to the Clippers, 124 points to Dallas, and then they gave 140 points. So that is nearly 130 points per game without Turner. Now, tonight they didn't have Brogdon as well, which you can make a case of the Pacers' two best defenders, and of course that's going to be an issue. But clearly Turner is the catalyst that keeps this defense running. And as much as I might think Sabonis is just like so good offensively that it should be able to outweigh, you know, Turner's defensive impact versus offensive impact, like I think Sabonis has an overall better impact because of he has such a good offense and he can be adequate enough on defense to kind of hold. It's clear that without Turner's defense, this team likely cannot win games and cannot get far in the playoffs because they're going to need that rim protection eventually to slow down this Bucks to any team they play, whether it's the Bucks, the Nets, the Celtics. I mean, who else will get first round matchup? The Sixers, like they're going to need that rim protection to have any shot at like slowing a team down. Because I truly think if Turner was able to play tonight, the Pacers probably had a pretty good shot at this game. The Pacers collapsed way too much, which led a ton of 3-point shots. And with Turner, they don't collapse because they just let him play the rim protector and just, they basically let guys beat them and then jump out to the other defenders, right? They don't, even if the Bucks spaced out and put, you know, what they did with Brook Lopez, who wasn't really great from three, hasn't been great from three this season, frankly, left him wide open, they at least could have allowed them to jump out of shooters like Pat Connaughton, who shot 6 of 7 from three, Drew Holiday, who shot 5 of 6 from three, Chris Middleton, who shot 4 of 6 from three. That all those guys shot so good from three, and if they had Turner back there, they wouldn't be able to get after those shooters the way they normally do, because they could have played a little tighter and let the guys beat them because they knew they had Turner as kind of the backup plan for them. And so that was like the key issue of this whole defense, and that was that constant collapse without Turner. And so to me, so Turner's name has kind of started to surface in some trade rumors here or there, nothing serious, I think. I mean, it seems like it's more wishful thinking on the part of teams like the Hornets or whoever else wants him, because the Pacers clearly need him. But I don't think there's been a starker example of why the Pacers desperately need Turner than tonight's game. 140 points to a team without their best player. That's kind of ridiculous. And even look at the on-off stats, right? It's sort of a flip, right? So this year, Turner has got like fantastic on off rating. So he's on, he's a 3 net rating was on the court for the Pacers, including 107 defensive rating, which is really good. And the Pacers are a minus 3.6 when he's off the court. This compares to last season where he was basically a neutral when he's on the court, and they actually were better when he was off the court. And some of that has to do with just him being a better defender with the way the team is this year, right? So they play Turner a little less, what's the right word, regularly maybe is the right way, or inconsistently with the same unit over and over again, right? McMillan had a very good, had a very rigid system where Turner always subbed out, or Sabonis always left first, then Turner split for Sabonis, and Sabonis played with the bench time and time, and a healthier roster than they have this year, so it's part of that. But Turner's playing more minutes with McConnell at times, or McDermott when he's on the bench, or Sumner, like he just kind of, like you could see him there at the end of the third quarter sometimes, sometimes we don't, sometimes we see him start of the fourth, sometimes we don't, it just sort of depends. There's no like consistency this year just because of injuries and because I think Bjorkman is kind of a more freewheeling style than McMillan, and that's part of that, where like Sabonis, his net rating was so good last year because he was with that bench consistently. They were healthy enough on that bench, and it was a really good unit, and that propelled his stats way up. I mean, Sabonis was so good with the bench last year that it, like, dragged. I mean, so, for example, Sabonis last year was a 3.1 net rating when he was on the court, and the team was a minus point when he was off, versus this season, it's like the reverse. He is a minus 2.8 when on the court, and they're a 7 point when he's off. Some of that is because the team is not as good as last year, obviously. And there's a lot less minutes where, you know, he's playing a ton of minutes and kind of has to be that way. But he's, Sabonis was propelled so much by just being that awesome bench center that it's sort of dragging his stats down and dragging Turner's up in some way. And so once they get, you know, get worn back in kind of this kind of healthier-ish roster, that should help both of them. But I think Miami game is an example where Turner basically sat the entire last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, give or take. And they blew that lead, and because they couldn't get stops, they actually got good shots. They just couldn't get stops, and so, in my opinion, from what I've seen Turner this year, is like he's almost untradeable in some ways. If you want to have a shot at stopping a team on the defensive end, right? The Pacers want to go into like this. We have to figure out our next phase, and we need some kind of rebuild, or I don't know what the move is, frankly. Then maybe Turner's on the block. But if they want to be competitive this year, and Turner just gets better defense every single year. I mean, he was last year, I thought he reached his peak. Now he's at a new peak this year. If they want to have any shot at stopping teams, they need Turner. And they either got to make Turner and Sabonis work, which I think it works enough, or they've got to figure out how to turn one of those guys into a four. But if they do that, they can turn one of them into a four. Turner being the five at the center and the stretch, it makes more sense, to be honest. You know, for a while, I would have said Sabonis is the guy you pick. Better offense, just so good offensively, you know, all-star, you know, whatever it is. But I don't know. I do wonder if Sabonis' offense, you can get like 80% of his offense from somebody out there. And just having Turner by himself on the defensive end is such a strong positive pull that that would help, you know, overall affect this team's net rating. But I don't think either of them is going to get traded. I think they're going to make it work. You know, you don't make a move until you absolutely have to, until you have the perfect scenario or one of the guys on expiring year left, which I think Sabonis is 1 year behind Turner. So that's when a move will be made. So I don't think anything's imminent, just because why would there be? The Pacers don't like have a reason to just like trade Turner, and there's not like a great option out there. So I said this on yesterday's podcast, nothing new repeating on that, but I think it's pretty obvious after tonight, especially, that Turner's defense is extremely valuable. And it's not underrated because we talk about it all the time, but like it's just worth pointing out. They desperately need his defense if they're going to be anywhere close to competitive. I mean, they lost to a Bucks team tonight without their best player by 27 points. If they had Turner, that's probably not going to happen. Let's do this. Let's take one quick break, and then I'll talk about the moment where I thought the Pacers had a shot at winning tonight's game, but unfortunately we're not able to do it just because of whatever. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. Tony and I will be hosting some either on his account at Tony East or the Locked On Pacers account at least once a week. We'll probably do one for the trade deadline Thursday. We're going to talk about the Pacers after the trade deadline, whether a move is made or not, and then you can join on the conversation by commenting. We might even let people come on and ask them via audio. Locker Room is the perfect place to kind of start a conversation, to join a conversation, or just kind of get into a debate about anything with the NBA and any kind of sporting event, whether you're, you know, Pacers fan, Colts fan, whatever, the Locker Room app is the best place to do that. And you can download it today for free. Developed currently available on all iOS devices, and it's easy to create a profile. You link it to your Twitter. You can link it. It's really easy, and you can set up a follow here, and you can set up a date or time when you want to talk about something, and people can join you. The Locker Room app is changing the way we talk about sports. And today's Locked On Pacers podcast is brought to you by RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for over 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com right now to shop all the auto and body parts from 100 manufacturers. I've checked them a ton right now. You can get anything there, right? You're looking for new carpet for your car. You're looking for air filter replacements. You're looking for whatever it is. Maybe you're really handy and can, you know, your battery dies and you do it yourself. They have all the parts for any kind of car. You can see all of them available. They have the specific brands. They have prices that you prefer. It's perfect. And best of all, the prices there are the same for you and the professionals. So you don't have to spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Go to rockauto.com right now. You see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in the How Did You Hear About Us section so they know that we sent you. Main selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. So the Pacers had a shot to win this game after what was probably the worst first quarter. Well, you know what? Probably not the worst first quarter in this season. They played really bad against the Nets this year and the Bucks last time they played them. But, you know, a terrible first quarter and really a terrible first half. In the third quarter, they cut this game to 13 points with roughly 2 minutes left in the third. Karis finally got hot, hit a three. It's 102-89. And if they get a stop on this next play, they go down and score. It's maybe single digits or 10 points or less. Right? In my mind, I'm thinking the entire time for the Pacers, if it's 10 points or less going into the fourth quarter, they have a shot. That's usually the kind of level where I think a team has a shot. If they're down about 10 points, they can come back. You know, they can make it four really fast, get a quick timeout by the other team, and then kind of stay competitive, and maybe things break their way. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but the momentum's on their side or whatnot, and it can break their way. Instead, Giannis's brother, Thanis, I think how you say it, or Thanis. I'm not going to say it right. Whatever, Giannis's brother gets this 2-foot dunk that was a terrible read by Goga and just like a pick and roll mismatch where they just like didn't read it right. And then Goga fouls him. He doesn't make the free throw, but then they can't get the offensive rebound. Goga also screws up there and Justin Holiday hits a putback shot. All of a sudden, it goes from being a 13-point game to a 17-point game, and it kind of feels like it's out of reach at that point. To me, this was kind of the critical point. I thought Karis, who overall did not have a great night. I mean, Karis is 7 of 17 and 3 of 10 from 3 and basically was playing point guard for this team. Finally got hot in that third quarter where it felt like if they could just figure out how to get him the ball and get everybody else out of the way, really him or Lamb the ball and just get a few stops, they really had a shot here. And they just couldn't do it. I mean, frankly, they just couldn't do it. I mean, they have no one to blame but themselves. They were so, so bad in that first. Like I said, I can't overestimate how bad they were in that first quarter. They were God awful. I mean, it was just like they couldn't stop a single shooter. They weren't playing any defense, and they could get and literally they bricked shot after shot after shot. So that first quarter cost them this game, but they had a shot in the third quarter to come back. Obviously, they didn't, and then the Bucks kind of ran away with it in the fourth quarter. Closed the game out really well. It was really smart, I thought, of Bill to basically bring his starters out to start the fourth quarter and close this game out. Holiday and Milton had a really good start to the fourth quarter, pulled them up by 20, and that was kind of it. Because, you know, I think heading into the fourth, they were down 16, which is pretty hard to come back from. But, you know, in today's game where you hit threes really fast, the Pacers had a little run there and could have cut it to, let's say, by hitting three threes to seven. That would have made it kind of an interesting game. So it was a smart move by Budenholzer to kind of do his starters start the fourth. But, man, this was a bad game and a bad loss for this team. Right, you know, when I come in tonight, like, oh, they're going to lose, right? You expected that. Bucks are really good, but they've gotten some weird breaks here. They just haven't taken advantage of the Pacers in general, right? They get Giannis not on the Bucks. They get no Kyrie or Durant against when they play the Nets. They get no Embiid when they play the Sixers, and they can't win either of those games. Like, those are three games against three of the best teams in the East where if they win those three games, they're 500 right now, and they're three games they probably should win because those teams are so decimated by their starters, right? They just have not been able to get these, like, or take advantage of the opportunities where they have a shot at, like, stealing a win, right? I mean, when you look at the Nets on the schedule, the Sixers on the schedule, or the Bucks, schedule losses over and over again. But somehow the times that they get, you know, lucky injury breaks they can't take advantage of. And that's why they're in the spot they're in right now at 19-23, 10th in the East, and probably going to book the play-in game, but not go much further. And at this point, I kind of think, is it really worth it? Would you rather just, you know, basically lose the play-in game, have a, they probably get the, like, the 11th or 12th best odds in the lottery, and maybe they can get a top four pick? I mean, I think the 11th, I want to say the Lakers had the 11th best odds and got a top four pick the year of the Zion draft. Maybe that's what hope for as a Pacers fan, right? They're just I know there was no Brogdon and no Turner, so that definitely obviously was another reason they lost tonight's game, but there just isn't a lot in this team this year. I don't think long term they're kind of screwed, because I do think Karis will get better when he kind of gets a full offseason with these guys. Warren a full season when he's not coming to come back, you know, mid injury will help, and just they can stay healthy for a full year, that would be a huge thing. Or like, not even, I'm not talking about even like everybody plays 82 games, but like if they can get all five of their starters to play 70 games, that would be like each or more. That'd be really helpful, because they haven't really had that in a long time. And it's a reason why they've, you know, they've usually exceeded expectations this year. It's a reason, you know, missing two starters for extended periods of time. I mean, 30 plus games for two starters is killing this team. And it's, you know, it's killing their chemistry, and it's killing their ability to win games at the same time, right? It's killing them when they're not playing. The guy that play that kills them because they can't get enough scoring. Then they do play, they're so out of kind of sorts that it just hurts them even more. So I don't know. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic. I probably am. You know, I'm recording this late. They lost by 27 points, and I get in kind of a pessimistic mood and think, this team is terrible, and I need to, you know, they need to, some kind of reset like that, and maybe a draft pick is that reset. But some days I just think, you know, they're pulling away from Toronto, who is now, I think, Toronto is now 2.5 back of them. So Toronto is probably just, like, out of the playoff race at this point. It feels like, although they, you know, they've lost 9 in a row in Toronto. That's miserable, 9 in a row. And the Pacers have an easy schedule. They should be able to get into the top, you know, let's say 7 through 10. But on some days I think, it'd be better just to, like, not be in the play-in game. Or to be in the playing game and not be in the, you know, losing that game, and then they don't have to worry about it, and they can maybe get a lottery pick and kind of get somebody to kind of help kind of reset this franchise a little bit, because that's the thing this team has been missing for forever, right? They do a very good job at finding the middle class free agents, whether it's McConnell, whether it's McDermott, just finding those guys and developing them, and they do a pretty decent job at developing some young players, some not, but they really haven't hit on a draft pick, right? I mean, by young players, I mean, they're able to turn a guy like Sabonis, who they got in a trade, to a decent player. They're able to turn her as a draft pick, but able to get a guy like Warren and turn him into a decent player. So they do a good job at, you know, Warren was a decent player when they got him, but they made him better, right? They're missing that, like, could they get that one draft pick who ends up, you know, Devin Booker level draft pick would be the right way to put it, right? That's how the Suns did it, and then scaled it up and so on and made it work. They just are missing that kind of player. But knowing this team is they'll get healthy all of a sudden, they'll right the ship, they'll win a bunch of games, end up as a sixth seed, losing the first round, but end up with the, you know, 24th pick, I guess, 18 to 20th pick probably range, and pick a guy who has a 10% chance of panning out, and even into a quality starter. Anyways, that's what we'll see what happens. Let's do this. Let's take one more break, and I want to talk about Zach Lowe's reports on Doug McDermott being available possibly, or teams calling about him, and the availability of possibly Miles Turner. But first, today's Locked On Pacers podcast is also brought to you by our wonderful friends over at Built Bar. I've been talking about Built Bar for a long time. Built Bar is the great protein bar that's 100% covered in chocolate. It's high in protein. It's good if you're trying to like maintain or lose weight. It's one of the best protein bars on the market. I've been given a few and tried them, a bunch of them. My favorite one is obviously the peanut butter brownie one, which is like 18 grams of protein and everything like that. But they're doing this great thing for Built Madness, where you can look up their matchups, right? So today's matchup for Built Madness is their coconut bar versus their white chocolate birthday cake. You can go on their page. You can vote in the bracket and see who wins. I think they might even be offering some specials based on that. And right now, you go to Built Bar and do an order. You get 15% off using the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15 for 15% off your next order at BuiltBar.com. And check back later to see who won today's matchup between the coconut versus white chocolate cake protein bar. And this Locked On Patriot Podcast is also brought to your wonderful friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. We are way past the football season, and we are over halfway into the NBA. College basketball is basically at its most exciting time right now, with the Sweet 16 being finalized today. NHL's in full swing, and BetOnline has you covered for all that kind of stuff. They even can cover you for awards, shows, TV shows, and reality TV. So you got like the Oscars coming up, or the Academy Awards, whatever you want to call it. You can bet on that. They have real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. I'm a big fan of betting on futures. I think that's where your best value when it comes to betting is. If you can kind of pick a team and hopefully they can kind of make it far and they can hedge them right. BetOnline even has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. The best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile phone today to sign up. You get 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. BetOnline.ag, your online sports book experts. So Zach Lowe, in his, I think his weekly column, talked about just some trade possibly with the Pacers. So it was said in his podcast last week, and Tony talked about it on our show yesterday. Obviously, there's been some discussion about Doug McDermott. The Pacers are not going to be a competitive playoff team. They're not going to re-sign McDermott. They have to seriously think about trading him because they're going to lose him, and they need to retain the value of the asset. The question will be, do they want McDermott long-term? And if they do they ultimately just basically re-sign him like to an extension right after the trade deadline? We'll see when he's extension eligible. Same thing kind of goes for TJ McConnell. Just because both those guys have value to a lot of teams, and they're such low salary, you can probably kind of make something fit and expiring and whatnot, and maybe get a pick out of it. I'm not sure you can get a first-round pick for McDermott or McConnell, but if you could, it'd probably be worth it, frankly, just because first are valuable assets. But most of the good teams don't have first, and I don't know what, I don't know who would give you what for McDermott, but he could maybe get you a first if you're lucky. But I'm not sure like 4 seconds would really be worth McDermott. I don't think second-round picks have any value, in my opinion, but we'll see. The Miles Turner stuff is the same thing that's been said for a while. Hornets really, really want him. Pacers really don't have a reason to send him there unless they can offer some amazing package, like their first round pick unprotected, maybe is the move. But I don't see the Hornets stepping up to like blow the Pacers away from Miles Turner. I don't think the Pacers wanting to get rid of Miles Turner. I made the whole case in the first segment. They need him defensively to win games. If they're going to rebuild, sure, trade him. But if they plan on being competitive this season or next season, they're going to need him at full strength, back and ready to go, because their defense is atrocious without him. And even in games, you can see that, like the Miami game, when he didn't play and the team gave up a 15-something run to end that, and in that fourth quarter, where they pulled that in overtime, thanks to Turner coming in, basically, after Sabonis fouled out. So I don't think there's much to read to it. There might be a move. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised. Like if I had to put it at odds, I would put McDermott being traded at 50-50. I wouldn't be surprised. Same with McConnell, just because I don't think, like I said, if you don't think you're going to resign those guys, it's worth trading, and they don't really have a ton of like opportunities right now to like make a deep playoff run. It feels like they're not, near a 4 or 5 seed, right? Deep playoff run is win a playoff series for me. That's what a deep playoff run means, by the way. But Turner, I would put at like 10%, if not even less. I mean, I just don't see the reason trading him to a team like Charlotte, unless there's somebody else out there I'm not, and that's, the teams that make the surprising moves are the teams you don't hear about. So if somebody could get traded, we just don't know about it right now. We don't hear about it. But I just don't see the Pacers really looking to make a move on either Sabonis or Turner at this point, just because I think they want to see the roster healthy. And next year is, again, they have to be encouraged a little bit that if they get 100 healthy, it'd be decent next year. But we'll see. You never know. The Caris LeVert trade came out of absolutely nowhere, although I guess if you put my odds before the season, I said Vic was probably 60-40 to likely be traded. If you told me he turned an extension and wasn't going to re-sign, for sure I would have put it at 90-10. For that he'd be traded midseason. So it wasn't as surprising as more just like what the trade ended up being was kind of surprising to me. But that's a story for another day and another conversation for another time about the whole Vic situation. That's all I got for this Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. Me at Freeman 5, my co-host Tony East at East NBA. We will bring you a Locked On Pacers podcast trade deadline show together later this week, probably Thursday afternoon. Expect that to be posted maybe 6-7 o'clock Eastern. We'll also be on the Locker Map doing that, what we, I talked about earlier, where we'll have a little show. We'll probably do kind of a simultaneous record with our show and with that app. Give you guys a chance to ask questions immediately in the moment. So check back for that. Check our Twitter feed. We'll be posting about that and whatnot. Check Tony's Twitter feed as well, because he's the better Twitter feed of both of us. So that's all for Locked On Pacers Podcast. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.